And in studio with us, it's Detective Eric Edson from the Sheboygan Police Department. Visits us usually a couple times a month and keeps us on top of scams and fraud that's impacting our area. Eric, how are you?
Great. How are you, Kelly?
I'm good. You said off the air before, you know, you always come with bad news, as you put it.
Yeah.
But you got maybe some good news.
Hopefully,
this morning.
Yes. So the FCC last year sometime announced that they were implementing a technology called, its acronym is Stir and Shaken. It's kind of like a reference to the James Bond. He likes his martinis shaken
yeah.
and stir.
Okay. Yeah.
So the deadline for that, for carriers, cell phone carriers to implement that, is this summer, June 30th. And basically what it is, it's an acronym for specific protocols and standards that are involved in this technology. And basically it validates or confirms the caller ID of the number that's coming into you. So I think we've talked about before things are referred to as like spoofing caller ID, where someone can, with the right technology, make it look like the Sheboygan Police Department is calling or the IRS
right.
or whatever. So this technology is supposed to put an end to that. Most major carriers have already started implementing this as early as last fall, but it's the full rollout is supposed to be this summer. And the FCC appears to be very serious about this. Two of the major carriers had applied for an extension to try to put off implementing this, and that was denied. So whether they actually comply with it or not will remain to be seen, but hopefully it'll be done by summertime. So what does this mean to the average person? It means that spoofed caller IDs will be prevented and really should guarantee that what you see displayed on your phone will be the actual person. There's some technology behind the scenes that we kind of talked about. It will make your eyes glaze over if you really want to read about it.
Right.
But basically, it's that you can trust what shows up on your phone. Now, it's not going to eliminate robocalls.
Right.
So if you've signed up for, like, the school district has robocalls to talk about cancellations and things like that, there's some community alerts that still will go out, things like that. So it won't eliminate them all together. However, it will eliminate the fraudulent or spam phone calls that people are getting.
Which, yeah, is there a timeline on this for when this, you said end of June, right?
Right. The deadline is June for all the cell phone carriers to implement this, both in Canada and United States. The Canadian equivalent of the FCC here in the United States is doing the same thing. So the official deadline is June 30th of this year.
Okay.
Most have already started to do that. I've had some people say that they've noticed a decrease with a couple different carriers, that they've noticed that already. And that, in conjunction with some of the features that certain carriers are offering now to kind of reduce spam, a lot of iPhones have the ability to silence unknown calls, things like that. People should really, I would say by the end of this year, should really notice a drop off in the number of spam type robocalls that they're getting.
That
again, it's not
going
to eliminate all of them, because like we talked about, you know, criminals and other people don't follow the do not call list. So
right.
you still might get some calls. Yeah. But the fraudulent one should really drop off by the end of the year.
So perhaps some good news.
Perhaps. I hope so.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been getting a lot of, I don't know if they're robocalls, but I'm getting a lot of calls from numbers I don't recognize. And I just don't answer them if I don't recognize a number. And they don't leave voicemails. So
right.
I don't know if those are
right.
robocalls or what they are. But I've seen an uptick in those past, I don't know, month or so.
Sure. And they've gotten smart where they'll try to use like the local prefix. So
yeah.
If you're from the, right,
right.
it makes it look like it might be somebody that
right.
you know.
Yep.
This is exactly what that's directed to stop. It's directed to stop people that are calling on an IP-based system from a different country or somewhere else to make it look like it's a local call and try to convince you to answer it. This hopefully is going to stop that.
All right. Look forward to that.
We'll keep fingers crossed.
Yeah, definitely. You want to talk about the Facebook data breach, which we learned about a few weeks ago, I think.
Yeah. So it's being referred to as a data breach. It's really not a data breach. It's what's called scraping. So there was a feature on Facebook that previously had allowed you to search for people using their phone number. And that feature has since been disabled. But hackers were able to use that backdoor kind of technology to scrape a whole bunch of personal data from people. It's estimated that it affects about 500 million people worldwide. So kind of wrap your head around how much data
yeah.
that is. And it's an estimated 30 to 40 million people here in the U.S., but no one really knows, you know, how many people are affected by that. It did occur in August of 2019 is when they kind of noticed it. And more recently, everyone knows that there's the dark web and there's websites out there that people can post information. And that's kind of how this came to light, was these hackers posted this information for sale on the internet, all this personal data of yours and mine.
Yeah.
the weird thing is that Facebook, you know, if you didn't hear about the news story, you wouldn't have heard it from Facebook.
Right.
Facebook decided not to tell anyone, and when asked about that, they said, well, we closed the loophole that was allowing that to happen, and there's nothing anyone can do about it anyway, so we're just not going to notify people individually.
How irresponsible is that?
That should upset people that use Facebook, I think. It would upset me that they don't respect your personal data enough to notify you of something like that, but you know, in the end, it is what it is. So what did the hackers get? They got full names, email addresses, phone numbers, location data, other biographical data, possibly birth dates, really everything they need to perform identity theft. So like I said, they've put this information on the internet for sale, and really it can allow people to engage in a wide variety of fraudulent activities. But really the easiest one is just to apply for credit with this information, because you definitely have enough. And what we talked about before too, all the personal information that people put on, people don't really think about putting their birth dates, celebrating their birthdays, acknowledging birthdays, right? So, and if you have family members, people can get mother's maiden name from Facebook by making family association. So they really have everything they need to apply for credit. So what can you do? What's the best protection? Do you know, Kelly, what is the best protection? We've talked about it before.
Credit freeze.
Credit freeze, yeah. Right, exactly. So we don't need to get into how to do all that. There's information on the Sheboygan Police Department website at sheboyganpolice.com on how to do that. There's links how to do that. It's very simple. But honestly, if you're a Facebook user and you haven't frozen your credit, you're really opening yourself up to potential headaches for the next couple of years, because your information is probably out there.
Yep.
And it's a really simple step that you can take to try to prevent someone from using your information to apply for credit. So there is a website to see. It's run by a Microsoft employee. There's a website out there that you can enter your email address and or your phone number or any number of email addresses or phone numbers that you might have had to see if they've been involved in any data breach, not just this one. It's kind of a weird website. It's haveibeenpwned.com, and pwned is spelled P-W-N-E-D. So it's like the word owned, but a P instead. And I would get into the reason for that, but it's one of those like silly gaming kind of community things where someone was trying to say they owned somebody when they beat him in a video game, and they mistyped the P and the O because they're right next to each other on the keyboard. So the website is haveibeenpwned, P-W-N-E-D.com. We have a link for that on our website as well. So if you go to the Sheboygan Police website under community and fraud prevention, we have the notes for our appearances on the radio, and there's a link for that. So if you want to check that out, I would recommend going there.
All right. Good stuff again. You want to give us a little heads up on your next appearance, what you're going to be talking about here?
So especially during the pandemic, but just in general, a lot of the cases that we see involving fraud involve the elderly for a variety of different reasons. And I would like to talk about some of the strategies and things, having those courageous conversations with maybe older parents, or if you're in a caregiver situation, or if you work at a financial institution, maybe some things to talk about with older people, some warning signs to look for. So I'd encourage people to tune in 2 weeks. We're going to talk about elder exploitation, some things to consider when talking with older parents or people that you're a caregiver for, and hopefully preventing them from being the victim of fraud.
All right. We'll look forward to that. 2 weeks from today, that'll be the 29th.
Yes, sir.
All right. We'll see you back here then.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thanks for coming in.
Right.
Detective Eric Edson with the Sheboygan Police Department here on WHBL.